We're talking about what the Bible says about eternal punishment in hell. And in the previous lesson, we looked at quite a few passages on this topic. And today, we want to raise a question. In light of all those verses about hell and about hell being eternal, the question is, but doesn't the Bible say that God is a loving God? And how can a loving God punish people in hell for all of eternity? Now, the simple fact that we want to look at for a few minutes today is that God is not just a God of love. He is a God of wrath and justice, as well as a God of love. Now, let's go straight to the Bible today, to Romans chapter 11, the book of Romans chapter 11. We're going to read verse 22, and then we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's look first of all at Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Notice what the Bible says about the nature, about the character of God. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Most people don't question God's goodness. Most people agree that God is a good God, that God is a loving God. They accept verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. They accept verses like 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. But the same Bible that talks about the love of God talks about the wrath of God and talks about the justice of God. Here the Bible expresses it with the word severity. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. So the Bible shows that God is just as good as he is severe. He is just as severe as he is good. So we can't just look at God and say that he is good without admitting what the rest of the Bible says about other attributes of God. Now let's look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse 28. It's hard to find a good starting place in this section, but because of time, we're going to start reading in verse 28 and read down through verse 31. In Hebrews 10, verse 28, the Bible says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sorer punishment," that is, how much more severe punishment, "suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now, this passage definitely underscores the fact that God is a God of vengeance and not simply a God of goodness and love in the sense that most people think of God today. You'll also notice in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29, that the Bible says, in addition to God being a God of love, that in Hebrews 12, verse 29, the Bible says, "For our God is a consuming fire." You don't hear those verses read as much as you hear John 3:16 and 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. But they're just as inspired and they're just as true of God as these other verses. Now let's think about this objection just a little bit further. We're talking about the question that oftentimes is raised. Sometimes it's used to deny that there is such a place called hell. It's the question or the objection, well, but God is a loving God, and so how can a loving God punish people in hell for all of eternity? In the first place, consider the alternative. What if God didn't punish sinners at all? What if God did not punish even the worst of wicked men? Now, just consider the people that you would consider some of the vilest sinners in all history, whether that's Hitler or whether it's Jack the Ripper or somebody more recent. What if God did not punish sinners, any sinner, regardless of how bad he is, at all? Would God be just? Would God be doing right if he never punished anybody at all, regardless of how bad that person is? Suppose that you have a person who is never punished in this lifetime for his sins. Suppose this individual is in a position of power, like some rulers are, and they've been able to oppress, they've been able to torture, they've been able to kill, starve to death, and do all kinds of other things to even the citizens of their land, all that they desired to in this life, and they die, and they never are brought to justice. Now, if a person says that a loving God cannot punish people in hell, then according to that reasoning, those people just get away with it. Those people never have to face any kind of justice. Now, that's really one of the consequences of a person saying that he doesn't believe in hell because God is a loving God and he just can't see God ever punishing anybody in eternal torment. That would mean that people leave this life and are never really held accountable for what they have done. And as a matter of fact, I think that we could take this even further. If a person says that God is such a loving God that he will not punish people in hell, then wouldn't that mean that even in this lifetime, that if God is a loving God toward us while we live on the earth, that God is not even going to punish anybody on the earth? If God is only a God of love, and such a God of love in this sense, that he doesn't hold people accountable to the point that he actually punishes people, then he will not only not do that after people live, he will not do that while they live, regardless of how wicked, regardless of how cruel and barbaric those people are in their lives. So when people argue against the teaching of eternal punishment in hell, they're asking for more than they oftentimes realize. Now here's another aspect, another wrinkle in this whole topic that sometimes is raised. Sometimes we hear the question, well, is it really fair, though, to punish a person forever for just a few years of sin? Is it right to take a person and punish that person throughout all of eternity for millions and billions of years just because he sinned for, let's say, 60 or 70 or 80 or even 20 years in this lifetime? Well, let's look at it this way. What about a man who kills a person? What about a man who takes a gun and he murders an individual? How much time does that take? How much time does it take to pull the trigger? It only takes a split second. And if he uses some other way to kill that person, usually it only takes a few seconds or a few minutes to kill that person. Now here, of course, is the question. Do you believe that it's fair to put that person in prison for the rest of his life for something that only took a second for him to do? What about stealing? If a man steals from you, and he steals something that is very valuable, do you believe that it's right to punish that person? Do you believe that that person should be brought to justice? Well, it only took him a few seconds or maybe a few minutes to steal whatever it was that he took from you. And yet, our law system says that he is to pay for that by spending time in jail. He is to spend time in jail for days, weeks, months, or even years. Even though it only took him a few seconds or a few minutes to commit that crime, we punish him many times over in terms of time. Now, we say that the punishment ought to fit the crime, but even we ourselves as human beings in our human law systems don't say that the same amount of time should be given for the punishment as it took to commit that crime. And so when people argue against eternal punishment and say, well, I don't have a problem so much with the punishment as I do the eternal part, I believe that these simple illustrations will help us to think about this in the way that we should. Now, here's another question, though, about this whole issue. When a person says, well, I just can't see why that God would punish people forever in hell, one of the questions that we need to raise is this. Is it fair for God to punish a sinner for 1 minute in hell? Is that fair? Now, I'm responding to a person who says, I just can't see how that God can be just and fair in punishing people forever in hell. Well, would you say that it's all right? Would you say that it's fair and just for God to punish a sinner for 1 minute in hell? What about 1 day in hell? What about 1 week in hell? What about 1 year in hell? Or what about 10 years? What about 1,000 years? What about 1,000,000 years? You see, when a person says, well, yes, I think that God could punish a person for a certain time in hell, then he has admitted that he doesn't really have a problem with the punishment called hell. He just has a problem with how long it lasts. He just says, well, I just think that that's excessive. I just think that it's unfair for God to punish a person forever in hell. Now, one of the questions that we need to raise about that is this. Who is man to determine this? Who are we to think that we're wise enough and just enough to determine what punishment fits the crime? Human beings are mighty poor judges of how sin ought to be punished, and we don't exactly take an objective look at that question. The truth is, we don't see sin the way that we should. We don't see sin as being as bad and as severe and serious as we ought to. That's why we get caught up in it the way that we do as human beings. Obviously, only God sees sin in its true nature. Only God knows the kind of punishment that sin deserves. J.W. McGarvey once said that if he had any wish, if there was any prayer that he had about his ability to preach, it would be that he had the understanding of sin the way that God understands it. He said, if there's one thing that I wish I could do, it would be to understand sin the way that God sees it and to be able to express that to human beings that I preach to. But McGarvey did say this, if any of us want to see how bad sin is in the sight of God, there are two simple things in the Bible that show us. Number one, the cross of Jesus Christ, because it was because of sin that Jesus died on the cross. And number two, the doctrine of eternal punishment in hell. Now, another question that is oftentimes raised about the subject of hell is, what purpose does it serve? What is the purpose that hell serves? Now, this question was brought up in a debate years ago. It's called the Warren-Mattson debate. It was a debate between Thomas Warren, a gospel preacher, and Wallace Mattson, who was an atheist. Now, the debate was whether the God of the Bible, who is said to punish sinners forever in hell, actually exists. And so Mattson, the atheist, raised this question. He said, what purpose does the doctrine of hell serve? He said, consider a man who's in hell. Hell does not deter him or prevent him from sinning anymore because he doesn't have that opportunity. Hell does not reform his life because he doesn't have the opportunity to reform his life, to change, and to do better. So Wallace was trying to suggest that the idea of punishing sinners in hell is senseless, that it serves no purpose at all, that it's meaningless. But he left out one thing, and this was pointed out, of course, by Brother Warren in that debate. And that is that punishment is not just to prevent people from doing wrong again or doing wrong the first time. It is not simply to reform their lives so that they will do better. Punishment is given because when we do wrong, we deserve to be punished. And that is the purpose of retribution. And if you take the idea of retribution out of the discussion of punishment, then you've really removed any basis for fairness or justice in the whole idea of punishing anybody for anything. Now, you see, the Bible talks about retribution being the purpose of punishment on the most fundamental level. When the thief on the cross was talking to the other thief on the cross, he told him, look, we're getting what we deserve here. Now, that's Luke chapter 23. And this is the whole purpose of eternal punishment in hell. When we sin, we deserve this punishment. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can save us from eternal damnation in hell. This is what the Bible is talking about in Romans 6:23 when it says the wages of sin is death.